History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Former special agent in charge of the Buffalo office of FBI, he is Bernie Tolbert. Mr. Tolbert, thanks very much. Appreciate your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, I'm going to start out with the first thing. What are you? Was it one glove or was it two?
Well, I don't know for sure for certain, but I've heard that they found a glove. I've also heard they found multiple gloves, which would suggest more than two. I don't know. I don't have any firsthand knowledge on that.
No. Well, you know what? If you are just as confused as I am by the myriad of reports that have come out, I don't feel quite so stupid anymore.
And you shouldn't, because in situations like this, there's always, you know, there's so many tips and clues, things that come in, and it's difficult to sort through it all. So you try to look at those that seem the most credible at the time. But you get to the others as you go along, but you want to try to first address those that seem to make the most sense and see if they have something.
Bernie, are you moving around? Because we had a great signal to start off, and then suddenly you fell off for us a little bit.
No, you know what? But let me get to a place where I've had that complaint before.
Yeah, I've got the same thing at my house because you go a little bit too close to the street, you drop calls.
Okay, are you able to hear me any better now?
Oh, you are wonderful. Mellifluous, actually. The situation with the gloves, I was thinking about this yesterday. Okay, nobody seems to lose both gloves at the same time. Think about Buffalo right now and in spring. You'll see the odd mitten. You'll see the odd glove. But finding two together is not real common. So if they did, in fact, find two gloves, or maybe, as you said, multiple, meaning four, who knows, maybe six, I would regard that as a significant development.
It certainly could be for a couple of reasons. One is if you've got two gloves, let's say, then there's twice the chance to obtain some kind of DNA or hairs or fibers or something else. That's what increases the likelihood that it'll be of evidentiary value to you.
Bernie Tolbert, the former special agent in charge of the Buffalo office of the FBI. Bernie, a couple of times I've brought up the long-ago case of Machine Gun Kelly. The FBI busted Mr. Kelly after a kidnapping. And supposedly, the story goes that he said, "Don't shoot G-men," when they arrested him. And that is supposedly why you people, your former employer, and its people are known as G-men.
I've heard that same thing, and I don't know if that's a fact, but you know, initially I always thought it stood for government men, but who knows?
Yep, government men, abbreviated to G-men by a very distraught Machine Gun Kelly, who is not nearly as tough as his wife tried to tell him he was. Bernie Tolbert is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. So what kind of, let's just walk through the evidentiary process in terms of analysis. All right, let's say it's one glove. Let's say it's 100 gloves. What will the FBI be doing to determine if there's any relationship whatsoever between the gloves and the crime?
Well, they'll want to first see if they can obtain any DNA from the glove, if the person, you know, any sweat or any skin particles, let's say, that come off when they're in the glove. They'll want to get that. And then save it so that when they do, and first I want to compare, see if they can find the same DNA in the home. That would be an outstanding, you know, clue. But let's say if they don't, they'll hold on to it so that as they move down the road, they could develop suspect or suspects. They can compare that DNA with the DNA of those individual suspects, which would, of course, you know, possibly able to put somebody, you know, at the scene. They'll also look for hairs and fibers, you know, hairs from the person's hand or back of the hand, or if there's any fibers that they get that they can later put into a location where that suspect or suspects they're developing. Now, again, those become clues that go a long way towards establishing truth.
Bernie Tolbert with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, unfortunately, I think the crime scene investigation, which is absolutely crucial in terms of evidence, was botched at the beginning. Perhaps, in all fairness, because authorities did not know originally that they were dealing with a heinous felony as opposed to a wandering senior. If the FBI had had the opportunity to analyze the crime scene, document the crime scene, gather any potential evidence and seal it, mark it, store it, what would you guys have done? What would the protocol have been for FBI?
Well, with any crime scene, the first thing you want to do is secure it so that you can hopefully ensure that things that after the fact aren't being introduced into the crime scene. If you go back to the O.J. Simpson case, you know, the Los Angeles Police Department took a huge beating over the handling of the crime scene there and that it had possibly been contaminated. So what we would do is first secure it, make sure that until we've completely done all of the work we need to do, no one, you know, comes into that crime scene. And then you'll gather as much evidence as you can. There's evidence everywhere, you know, starting with the normal, the fingerprints, if there's any fingerprints. Then you'll look for the things I talked about, hairs, fibers, something that was introduced into the crime scene, whether it's outside the home or inside the home, that shouldn't be there. And you'll process those. We'd send them to our laboratory in Washington, D.C. and then Quantico, and they will do, you know, they'll do their magic and tell us what we might expect either is to look for as we look for the suspect. These are the kinds of things you want to try to find, someone who wears this kind of clothing, or it's amazing. You can find things like a rug, you know, if some fibers from a rug there, you can tell where that rug was manufactured, where it was sold. And so it gives you some leads as to, okay, start looking in these places.
Bernie Tolbert, former special agent in charge of the Buffalo FBI. I want to ask you a question. This has been bothering me. The daughter, Annie Guthrie's house. The authorities have been there on numerous occasions, including yesterday and the day before yesterday. And the search is focused apparently in the Catalina foothills. May we draw any inferences from the repeated appearance of law enforcement at the daughter's home?
Well, I don't know. Can you draw inferences? You can, but not having firsthand knowledge of what they're discussing, what they're looking for there, it's hard to say that this person is a focus of suspicion. One of the things you always want to do in a kidnapping, one of the first things you want to do, you want to eliminate family members. And so that's something I'm sure they either have done or are doing. It helps them to focus their attentions in better directions, if you will. So, yeah, that does raise some questions. But it could be a tips that they're getting that cause them to go back there. Someone may have said something that said, "Well, let's check this. Let's run it to ground, make sure that there's nothing to it, so we can, you know, again, focus our attention in those areas and those things that we should be doing."
Bernie Tolbert is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, we've talked for several days here about you want, first of all, you do the crime scene. You document it. You never get a second chance to do the crime scene again. You got to get it as pristine as possible. That's something that is best left to the experts. Then you start looking into family members and the first ring of friends of the victim. Mm-hmm. And what do the statistics say about the number of people who are able to hose interrogation early, but those stories eventually break down? And I know there's not a lot of data on this particular situation where it may be a stranger-on-stranger adult abduction.
I don't know what specific numbers there are, but certainly our experience has shown us that oftentimes when you're interviewing someone and you've even eliminated them, something later in the investigation suggests that, you know, maybe there's a reason to go back to them, that you've overlooked something, or you get new information that was completely unavailable to you. So there are instances where a family member, or like you said, a first ring acquaintance, friends, is someone who you will want to go back to, and may they may even eventually end up being the person that you were looking for. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
I think you did. Quantico. I made the remark the other day after the video footage was released that FBI probably has somebody on staff who is an expert on ski masks, and they're an expert on coats and pants and shoes. Am I off?
But no, not at all.
I didn't think so.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we have experts. I think it's a combination of expertise in certain areas, plus people who have very good investigative skills and can do the kind of analysis that suggests, well, here's where we might want to look at. Here's a place we should focus some attention on. So, yeah, at Quantico, not only the things that you mentioned, people who are good at mask and those things like that, but we also have some very good psychological profilers who can read a person's even their movements. If you can get writings, you can get anything at all. Profilers can help put agents on the path towards a person who might have been the perpetrator. Look for a person who has this kind of a background, someone who has this particular kind of trait. Those are all things that our folks at Quantico and at FBI, at headquarters, those are things that they helped us with.
Bernie, the other day I made the comment that even with a ski mask on, I thought it might be possible for a skilled facial reconstruction person to at least give a rough idea of the face based even on the profile you can see through the ski mask, the eyes, the possible mustache or fake mustache. Is that possible, or am I whistling Dixie?
No, that's another investigative avenue that we'll want to go down. The first thing I felt when I saw the person in the mask, the eyebrows. If you look at those eyebrows, they look to me to be more those of an eyebrow of a female than a male. They looked like they were shaped, and you know, typically men don't pay that kind of attention to their eyebrows. So they will look at those kinds of things, the hair on the mustache, either that hair or the fake hair on the mustache. You can start to put together a video conception of what this person might look like. While you can't get the exact facial features, you might be able to tell that they have high cheekbones, just based on how the mask fits on them. So, yeah, that again, all of these are starts. None of it is proof positive of who the person is, but it's just one more step in the way of getting to that ultimate conclusion of finding the perpetrator. Now, I'll tell you a story I heard long time when I first went to the FBI. I was told about an agent who went to a person who had robbed a bank, and they had a mask on, and said, look, we know you robbed that bank, and you might as well confess. And the guy said, no, that's not me. He's got a mask on. And the agent told the guy, we're going to send this picture down to Quantico, and they're going to take that mask off of them. They're going to remove the mask, and that's going to be you behind the mask. And the person was obviously wasn't very bright, at least as the story goes, and confessed, okay, you got me. That's me. Well, it's not that easy, but anything that works.
Bernie Tolbert, the former special agent in charge, Buffalo FBI, on News Radio 930 WBEN. I've heard a lot of people talking on TV and everywhere else saying, look at this guy. Look at him on video. He's a moron. He's a loser. This guy obviously is not a sophisticated criminal. Then I retort, it's been 12 days and we don't even have a suspect. We've got one guy who got detained and he had never even heard of the case.
Initially, my initial thought as this thing first went down, I thought that the kidnappers were quite sophisticated. They seemed to be. It seemed like they were controlling the situation in terms of the communications. There was no way to get in touch with them. They'll get in touch with you. Bitcoin, using Bitcoin as the way to receive the ransom. And I thought they seemed to have their act together. I will admit that once I saw the video, it made me think that maybe they aren't as sharp as I thought they were. But again,
But that operates on the presupposition that the ransom notes are, in fact, from the evildoers. And my understanding is there's not a general consensus that that is the case. They might be spurious.
That's exactly where I was going. We don't know that that person in the video is necessarily the same person who wrote the ransom notes. And as you know, in almost any, in many of these cases, these instances, you get a person trying to take advantage of the situation and make some hay for themselves. And you know, I think they've already arrested one person who apparently sent a demand or something like to that effect. And you know, again, just trying to cash in on what was going on. So, yeah, we don't know if the person in the video is the same person who was at the house. But, you know, it's all part of the process of elimination that you try to run as many of these clues and leads you have, run them to ground and see what you end up with.
You know, Bernie, I had a caller the other day, Bernadette, and what she said is pretty much what you said. She said, "Tom, I'm not so sure that this is a he they're looking for. Look at the mascara. Look at the eyebrows. Those are well taken care of eyebrows." Now, I looked at the overall body and the gait. I did not notice protuberant or pendulous breasts at all. And the gait of the individual seemed to be male to me. And I know that sounds sexist and probably is, but whatever.
No. When I looked at the face, I thought, boy, that could be a woman. When you look at the body features, it does look more like a man. They're, you know, little. They seem to be bigger than the man. But I can't imagine that the FBI aren't concerned the possibility that it could be a woman. But you know, you never know until you actually get there.
Where does the investigation go from here, Bernie? Because we're in day 12 now, and they still don't seem like, despite what Cash Patel or anybody else has said about, we have people of interest. Shouldn't they, if these people are so amateurish, shouldn't they have a little bit more?
Well, you would think so. Oftentimes, when criminals aren't as good as we think they are, they're just a little luckier than we think they are. Oftentimes, they're just not as smart. You know, same thing when shots are fired. Oftentimes people say, well, how can the criminal be so good and shoot, you know, and hit somebody, and you know, the police aren't sometimes able to do that. I think more it's a matter of luck than the person being a skilled marksman. And when I was in Quantico going through training as a brand new agent, I remember one of our instructors saying, if you commit a crime, there are 50 things that can go wrong. And if you're a genius, you can think of 25 of them. The point being, there's always going to be something there. No matter how good you are, you're going to make mistakes. It's
my
just
concern,
a matter of time.
I happen to believe, and this is just a thought, that Nancy Guthrie was murdered in her home the night of the break-in and abduction. We might not actually be looking at an abduction. We may be looking at illegal transport and disposal of a body. Your thoughts?
That certainly could be one of the first things that you're going to look for in a kidnapping from a law enforcement perspective, from the family's perspective. You're going to want to see proof of life. So that's kind of, you know, kidnapping 101. We've not seen any of that, which does suggest that she could very well have, you know, been killed, and it's not around, not available.
There's so many more questions I have for you, Bernie, but I know your time is limited. I do want to thank you very much for taking the time and trouble to join us, and I do hope that we can chat again.
Anytime. I'd be more than happy to.
Awesome. You missed the job. You know it. You got your retirement shield. You'd rather be out in Tucson, right?
No, I'd like to think that I could certainly do the job as well now as I did before I retired, and I'd love to still be doing it, but, you know, there's some mandatory things.
My problem is I think I could do it too, but I wouldn't be very good. Bernie, thanks a million. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tom. You have a good day.
Absolutely. Bernie Tolbert, former special agent in charge of the Buffalo office of FBI.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.